W2DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells. President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News. The CEO of TikTok is set to testify before Congress.
Popular video sharing app TikTok is facing growing backlash on Capitol Hill as lawmakers cite concerns that the Chinese-owned platform could share user data with China's government. Republican Senator Josh Hawley has proposed a nationwide ban on TikTok, citing national security risks. In March, TikTok's CEO will now testify to lawmakers for the first time. The House Energy and Commerce Committee says the hearing will cover TikTok's privacy and data security practices, the platform's impact on kids, and its relationship with the Chinese Communist Party. Elizabeth Scholze, ABC News, Washington.
Lisa Loring, who played TV's first Wednesday Addams in the 1960s series The Addams Family, has died. Loring's representative confirming to ABC News she passed away on Saturday surrounded by family. Loring first starred as Wednesday when she was 6 years old. That role has attracted new attention with the success of Netflix's series Wednesday. Loring was 64. Andy Field, ABC News.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has three openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, Oshkosh Air Support.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, January 31st. Coming up this hour, the flat tax may be going flat. Governor Evers says again he's willing to veto a state budget bill if it includes a so-called flat tax giveaway to the super wealthy. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss backs off and says, you know, that's not exactly a deal breaker, but that he'll continue looking for ways to get whatever he refers to, however he defines, significant tax reform. Also this hour, Jesus is getting a makeover. And you can guess how well that's going over with some folks. We'll talk about a $100 million ad campaign specifically aimed at refurbishing the image of Jesus and how some critics of extreme right-wing religious activists say the makeover actually needs to go further. If you'd like to reach us on any of the topics we're discussing today, call us at 844-967-2789. Or the lineup north, 715-388-7155, though the lineup north may be frozen, because Wausau right now is at 15 below zero. Here on Lake Wissota, it is 16 degrees below zero. Up in Tomahawk, I think they're still the coldest point in the state, at least of the readings I see here. They are at 28 below right now. Spring is in how many days? Oh, I don't have it in front of me. When do pitchers and catchers report in just a little over 2 weeks? I have to remind myself of that, Aaron Zommers.
Yeah, but, you know, when it says it's spring doesn't matter in Wisconsin. We just know it's going to be cold until it's summer, basically. Or it has, although, it has the potential to become cold again, rather.
Although, again, minus 28, I'll call spring 5. At this point, because it would be a 33 degree difference compared to what they're going through in Tomahawk right now. But it is what it is. We know we're here. If you'd like to answer our question of the week, go to the Up North News Facebook page. Look for the live video feed of this show. Give your thoughts in the comments section as to how you define the middle class in America in the year 2023. We had so much news going on yesterday that we didn't spend our usual block of time talking about what was on the various Sunday shows, weekend shows. There's, you know, Upfront from WISN-TV, Capital City Sunday from WKOW-TV, Here and Now from Wisconsin Public TV, and others that we urge you all to watch, and then we'll kind of summarize from time to time here early in the week on Up North News Radio. And in the case of Governor Tony Evers, he was interviewed on Capital City Sunday by A.J. Byatpour, and A.J. asked the governor if he was really willing to veto the entire budget, if that's the only way to kill a Republican tax plan that might wipe out the income tax brackets for the very wealthy.
Any scenario in which you would veto a Republican budget that returns to your desk?
They do the tax proposal that they're looking to do, yes. The fair tax, where it's going to be equal across all parts of Wisconsin, That is not in my really wick.
So you'd veto that entire budget? You wouldn't seek a partial veto? You would just...
Possibly. But that's kind of a death knell for me. I think our progressive tax system is a good one, and we don't need to be spending our time and effort to provide the wealthiest of Wisconsinites with an extraordinary large tax cut.
And so then Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was interviewed on Upfront by Matt Smith of WISN-TV. And Matt Smith asked the speaker if he's willing to work to avoid a veto showdown with the governor. And Voss said, of course, he's a reasonable man.
Are you working to ensure, I guess, through compromise that that won't happen?
Well, it's never our goal. I mean, we want to make sure that whatever budget that gets through the legislature focuses on the priorities that we have, and hopefully they're shared by Governor Evers. Look, I'm very sincere in saying, look, not everything has to be an argument. I think we can have massive tax reduction. I think we can also make investments in our priorities. It won't necessarily be one or the other, and I realize that. I hope he does, too.
On taxes, the governor has said to me, if a flat tax is included in the Republican budget, that could signal a veto from him. Are you going to include that anyways?
Well, we have to work with our Senate colleagues. First of all, I think we need to have significant tax reform to be able to make sure that Wisconsin remains competitive.
So you're not hard set on a flat tax?
No, I mean, that would be my preference. But again, I understand that Governor Evers has concerns with that. But the most important thing for us to do is we have to make big efforts toward reducing our tax burden. Flat tax would be ideal. If we can't get it too ideal, there are other ways to get there.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll see what Republicans come up with for dealing with a $7 billion budget surplus in order to have tax relief and fund essential services. One more note from Upfront: Supreme Court candidate, former conservative Justice Dan Kelly, was interviewed, and he was asked about the role of donors in the state Supreme Court race, and whether especially right-wing money from Dick Heline's super PAC and others are a sign that politics is poisoning the race. Dan Kelly has talked about, you know, the poisonous influence of politics. Well, you would want to start with the Heline money. And Dan Kelly says, well, no, actually, I can't do anything about that.
I don't really know. Yeah, I mean, these are independent expenditures, as you noted. And one of the consequences of that is that, along with the rest of Wisconsin, I sit back and learn about what it's going to be as it happens.
Do you welcome that support from this group?
I welcome any support where we're talking about the proper role and function of the Supreme Court.
I just love the feigned innocence. Like, oh, this right-wing billionaire wants to help me? Gosh, I just have to sit back. There's nothing I can do about it. Actually, there is. It was the U.S. Supreme Court that allowed for unlimited corporate cash to flow in. State Supreme Court have played a role as well, and the next state Supreme Court could reduce the poisonous influence of political money. We'll have more coming up in a bit. This is Up North News Radio.
Hey there, fellow working class here.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast.
A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Bright sunshine today with highs around 9 above. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 3 above tonight, partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 21 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 8 below.
Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media. Will I never be to
heaven? But I've been to does Jesus need a makeover? We'll ask and try to come up with answers to that question in just a bit. First, tomorrow on Up North News Radio, Green Bay attorney Rachel Mays, a former candidate for judge, has been subjected to the full range of smear campaigns as a trans woman, ranging from whispers to the full-on bellowing of right-wing radio talkers. She provides perspective tomorrow on the four candidates running for an opening on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, especially the two conservatives who both attended a law school founded by a TV preacher and who have questionable track records when it comes to whether they will treat LGBTQ people as deserving of the rights we all should expect as Americans. Also tomorrow, Julie Lassa from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She is the Rural Development State Director for Wisconsin for the USDA and my former state Senate colleague. And the USDA is announcing $19 million to help two Wisconsin electric cooperatives expand and modernize rural Wisconsin's electric grid and increase grid security. So we will talk to Julie Lassa tomorrow about that in our 7 o'clock hour. Then Thursday at 7:30, our weekly hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And we will talk to Dr. Ben Weston about where are we now with COVID and new vaccine recommendations. And now President Biden's announcement that he will wind down the national health emergencies coming up in mid-May. And what is the significance of that for you and me? If you'd like to call in, 715-388-7155 or 844-967-2789. It's rare that you have not one, but two noteworthy stories about religion to pass along that won't set somebody's hair on fire, but we'll give it a go here anyway. The first one is about the National Prayer Breakfast. It is one of the most visible and long-standing events that brings religion and politics together in the nation's capital. It's splitting off from the private religious group that had overseen it for decades because of concerns that the gathering was becoming too divisive. And so essentially it's a former member of Congress who's helping take over the National Prayer Breakfast. It will be headed by former Democratic Arkansas Senator Mark Pryor. Another Democrat, Chris Coons, a regular participant and chair of the Senate Ethics Committee, said the move was prompted in part by concerns in recent years that members of Congress did not know important details about the larger gathering. You see, over the years, this has become so much more than a breakfast, a national prayer breakfast, where people can come together and try to use their faith to overcome the the boundaries of politics and the divisions of party. Coons has said that in the past, he and Republican Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma had questions about who was being invited and how the money was being raised for an event that was now going on for several days. And it was getting harder for members of Congress to say that they knew how it was being organized, who was being invited, how it was being funded. And Kuhn said many of us in leadership roles really couldn't answer those questions anymore. And so I think appropriately so, these members of Congress said, well, if it's getting too unwieldy for us to be able to speak with any sense of authority on what's going on, we need to reclaim it and just get it back to what it was, which was a single event. And so that's what's going to be happening this year. It's a breakfast that has been addressed by the president for over 70 years. Dwight Eisenhower was the first president to attend in February 1953. Every president since has spoke at the gathering. The larger event was put on by a private religious group called the International Foundation, and its spokesman, Larry Ross, said in an email that the group has always been centered around the person and principles of Jesus, with a focus of praying for leaders of our nation and from around the world. And more than 1,400 people have registered for the two-day event. But again, now it's going to go through some changes because, as Democratic Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia said, he stopped going in 2016 because the event, quote, had become an entertainment and lobbying extravaganza rather than an opportunity for spiritual reflection. Well, this comes at the same time that you might be noticing some commercials on TV about Jesus, and that Jesus gets us. It's all part of a $100 million effort that was launched late last year to redeem Jesus's brand from the damage done by some of his followers. The billboards are going up in New York City and Las Vegas. There are the ads that feature black and white online videos about Jesus being a rebel and an activist and the host of a dinner party. And these ads have been seen, you know, hundreds of millions of times. The He Gets Us campaign was funded by Signatory, a Christian foundation based in Kansas, and it will campaign will expand over the course of the year. People can even go to an online store and get free gear if they forgive someone or welcome a stranger. This is all leading up to an ad that, of course, is going to play on Super Bowl Sunday. One of the chief architects of the campaign, John Lee, said organizers are hoping to start a movement of people who want to tell a better story about Jesus and act like him. He says, our goal is to give voice to the pent-up energy of like-minded Jesus followers, those who are in the pews and the ones that aren't, who are ready to reclaim the name of Jesus from those who abuse it to judge and harm and divide people. Jason Vandergrund, president of a branding firm in Michigan that's working on the campaign, said the movement hopes to bridge the gap between the story of Jesus and the public perception of his followers. The campaign has done extensive market research, because we have to do market research on Jesus now, and found that while many Americans like Jesus, they are skeptical of his followers. And this is the interesting part. The research split Americans into four categories. So which one of these do you think you might fit in? There's non-Christians. That's about 16% of the sample. Then there are people who are spiritually open. That's 20% of the people in this survey. Then there are Jesus followers at 34%, and engaged Christians at 30%. And the research showed a very wide gap in perceptions of Jesus between the first three groups and in that last category. In other words, that last category of engaged Christians is not perceived very well by people who consider themselves Jesus followers, or people who consider themselves spiritually open, or even non-Christians. All three of them look at engaged Christians, and many agree with this statement from the research. Followers of Jesus say one thing, but do not follow those things in practice. Of the engaged Christians, only 5% agreed with that, but a majority of folks in the other three categories agreed that Christians care only about things like stopping abortions rather than caring for moms and their children. And so, ironically, the idea that Jesus loved all people and warned about religious hypocrisy were seen as very important to engage Christians and Jesus followers in the research, but not as important to non-Christians or the spiritually open. And so, again, this campaign is looking to try to bring people together to try to stop living out that quote that I see every so often about, I like your Christ. It's your Christians that I have a tough time with. So there are plenty of people that welcome a campaign like this. But as you might expect, there are people who don't. Some of them would fall in that engaged Christian category. But then there are other people who say it doesn't go far enough and says you can't sell Jesus as a product without acknowledging the harm caused by Christianity's most fervent followers. In an article by Hemant Mehta in a publication called Only Sky, they talk about the $100 million campaign and how it's a catch-all campaign meant to sell that the idea of Jesus exists in the hopes that people will eventually want to connect with a church. But in their mind, more needs to be done to reach out to that so-called movable middle and acknowledge the side effects that have come from a certain sliver of Christianity. The article says that marketing Jesus comes with this inherent flaw. Most of the people using the product aren't worth admiring. Between televangelists, megachurch leaders, Republican politicians, campus evangelists, hate preachers, lazy apologists, Franklin Graham, so forth, the amount of harm caused by the most fervent Jesus followers can't be understated. And why would you ever want to join a club that includes those people as members? Why wouldn't you at least acknowledge that the biggest obstacle to selling Jesus comes through the people who have already purchased the product? And on it goes. And so it leads to this point. Is that necessary for a campaign about Jesus to work? Do you, in fact, have to explicitly acknowledge or even call out the ugliest traits of certain Christian activity in order to tell people more about, you know, the life of Jesus and what he stands for and what he could represent to others? These are the things that are, you know, certainly worth considering. But I think, again, for each person, it's going to be a little different. I'm sure that some people see the ad campaign and find it refreshing, frankly, that somebody is talking about Jesus in a way that does not, imply that you're going to hell if you don't vote a certain way. Others, like I said, the author of the second article, believe that simply doesn't go far enough. So there we go. You can debate the image all you want, but I thought it was worthy of putting it out there that there is an awareness that there are folks who call themselves Christian, but there's a lot of times I really wonder if what's that line from The Princess Bride about Christianity? You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
I think that's a pretty good, anything I was about to respond with, I think is summed up with that.
And again, it's not that we're looking to, you know, necessarily stir up trouble here, you know, in religious discussions, but to note that there are people that are saying that we can have debates without you saying we have to, I don't know, not give you communion in the case of Catholics and abortion. But speaking of which, there is a new report from the Republican Party that urges candidates not to have learned the lessons of setbacks in the past year, but to go harder on the abortion issue. So once again, voters tried to send a message in 2022, but there is that segment of the political and religious population that says, well, in that case, I guess we just need to do more of that thing that is cleaving us away from the rest of the population. We'll have more in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio.
You are listening.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyre Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells, President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network, civicmedia.us.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address reminded folks how he's steered the state economy back from the pandemic recession.
Over the last 4 years, unemployment has hit record lows, and we've had the highest number of people employed ever. Our state has a AAA bond credit rating for the first time in about 40 years. That means we're able to get lower interest rates and save your tax dollars. Our general fund and rainy day fund both ended the last fiscal year at the highest levels ever in our state's 175-year history.
For Republican legislators trying to take some of the credit, here's a gentle reminder. You sat at home on a paid vacation for over 9 months last year. Evers provided a detailed plan. Republicans offered the usual cliches and a tax cut for the rich. To learn more, follow us on Up North News Radio, weekdays 6 to 8.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Why can't I quit you, Lindsey Graham says to Donald Trump. We'll tell you what he had to say. And, you know, if your blood pressure spikes, that's on you, not on us. You've been warned ahead of time. It's all about 2024. And I'm just going to start it by saying my blood pressure, somebody should have taken it yesterday afternoon when the top story at the Washington Post was this. Some Democrats are worried about Kamala Harris's political prospects. And again, I'm glad there's not a camera pointed on me 24/7, because you would have seen me looking at the computer going, shut up, shut up, shut up about 2024. There are real problems in the here and now in 2023, but all some lazy journalists have to do right now is speculate on 2024. So fine, we're going to play along simply because Lindsey Graham said something so ridiculous that when you get done with it, you're going to want to say shut up too. So we're just going to rub it in that we just we're not. Much like I'm not going to do this dance with Aaron Rodgers for the entire offseason, we're going to take this one crack at 2024 to make the point that it's too early. Stop it. There are things that need to be done in the here and now. And yet the Washington Post, you go to it now, you can't even find the story. You've got to scroll so deep to get into it. It's one of the more frustrating parts of the digital era that we live in now, is that, you know, top stories come and go like the wind. You know, if there isn't something really big happening, you know, a hurricane or what have you. So the top story for a chunk of yesterday, speculation on Kamala Harris, is now almost nowhere to be found. But at times, that's what people got to talk about. Now, the reason I wanted to get into Republicans and 2024 is for something that I was mentioning right before the break. And that is, even though Republicans underperformed in the midterm elections last November, the Republican National Committee is doubling down on its stance against women's health care rights and formally urging Republican lawmakers and campaigns, quote, to go on offense in the 2024 election cycle and to pass the strictest legislation possible restricting women and their abortion health care rights. At its winter meeting, the RNC passed a resolution that called on Republicans to push, quote, laws that acknowledge the beating hearts and experiences of pain in the unborn, referring to heartbeat bans on abortion, which would outlaw the procedure after cardiac activity is detected at about 6 weeks of pregnancy before many people realize they are pregnant. The resolution alluded to Republicans' disappointing performance in November, months after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, but appeared to place the blame on Republican candidates who did not sufficiently publicize their anti-abortion views. In other words, they weren't extreme enough. I think the voters got it. I think the voters saw who was extreme. I think the voters saw who would force a child to carry their rapist baby to term and go through childbirth, even if they and the family did not want to. I think they already know how extreme the candidates were that would say women have to be treated as second-class citizens in healthcare, up until the point where they bleed so much or their fever from an infection spikes so high, then they can have health care. And are they going to define that then? Are they going to say, you know, a woman with a fever of 100.9 can't get treatment, but as soon as it hits, you know, 101.1, then that's okay? Or, you know, is it a liter of blood that they have to lose before they get health care? Folks already get that politicians have no business being in the exam room telling women and girls what they can and can't do with their bodies. It was proven every time that abortion rights were up as a referendum, starting in Republican Kansas, where women, where Republican women said, that is the definition of big government, hands off my body. And so for the Republican National Committee to say there were losses last year because our candidates weren't extreme enough, go deeper, tells you that Trumpism, as we call it today, isn't about Trump. This is where the Republican Party has been going for some time. The Republican Party that your mothers and grandmothers may have been a part of before, in generations before, that were rooted in perhaps economic issues or issues related to safety, taxes, what have you. That party has been overtaken by those who would say to those same Republican mothers and grandmothers, you're not as worthy of health care and rights as other people are. And they get that. And yet the RNC says that's the way to go in 2024. So as we follow what's happening there, we have to find out if Trumpism continues in the vein of Donald Trump. And that takes us to Lindsey Graham, again, who is speculating in 2024, not because I want to, but for entertainment purposes mainly. Because this guy, It's flip-flopped on Trump so much that what's his famous line? Our party will get destroyed if we nominate Donald Trump, and we will deserve it. And then he loved him, and then he hated him, and now he loves him again. And of course, on Fox News, he was asked about, you know, whether he's going to support Trump in 2024, because, you know, a growing number of Republicans say, no, I think his time has come and gone. We thank him for his service, but we need to move on. Lindsey Graham is not ready to move on.
No, we need to get ready for a real spirited contest. Now, why Trump? Now, you mentioned like DeSantis. If you try to tell me that Ron DeSantis is not a good governor in Florida, I'm not going to listen to you. If you try to tell me Mike Pompeo is not qualified to be president, I'm not going to listen to you because I think he is. I am for Trump, not because of the flaws of anybody else. I'm for Donald Trump because I know what I'm going to get. We need somebody that on day one can get this country back on track, that can secure our border and bring order out of chaos. Somebody the Russians and the Chinese fear. Somebody that can take the fight to the terrorists. The Abraham Accords, the result of Donald Trump impressing the Arabs and the Israelis. He is the best solution to the problems we face. Not because of the flaws of others, but because what I know he can do. And I'm telling your listeners right now, when you hear, I like Trump policies, but I'm ready for somebody new, there are no Trump policies without Donald Trump.
Ooh. So as the bumper music, the Fox bumper music was playing, it is tough to grasp how somebody can go back and forth on somebody so much that doesn't involve high school dating, but that's what we're going to see, especially from somebody who, I always love when people intentionally mispronounce somebody's name, you know, Ron DeSantis coming out DeSantos, you know, this is the playground of politics in the 21st century.
Yeah. That's such a childish thing. Like Pat Creetlow, if I just did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say?
No, it's tied with what I was talking last week about how people that use, you know, the Democrat Party instead of the Democratic,
right,
because
exactly.
They think they're being cute or clever. And I mean, I think we can all do a little bit better in our politics than that.
And it's also very funny that he's talking about electing somebody that the Russians will fear and then talking about Trump. And
yes.
Something doesn't quite add up there.
No, it does not. Does not compute. I mean, Trump again put out something on his tiny social media network about meeting Putin in Helsinki a few years back. And, you know, what a great job he did. No. Americans saw an American president surrender to Putin. You know, the obsequiousness of the way he bowed, kowtowed, did not want anybody in the room. Not, you know, that the translator couldn't take any notes. There couldn't be anybody else from, you know, representing, say, the military or the State Department in that meeting. I mean, there are just so many things fishy about that. And his comments about Ukraine and how if I were there, there wouldn't be a war. No, there, maybe not. Maybe there'd just be flat out annexation. And then we'd be talking about Finland or Latvia or something else next. That's where we go if we get another Donald Trump presidency. Though, again, I don't have to speculate much about it because he's not going to be around for it. I don't believe he's going to be the nominee. I don't even believe he's going to be a free man by then, which takes us to another big story today, that a grand jury is looking into Trump's hush money payment to Stormy Daniels, the adult film star with whom he had an affair. Of course, he denies it, but... You don't pay somebody $130,000 like he did through his attorney. And his attorney at the time, Michael Cohen, you know, said it very well. He said, you know, Trump operates like a mob boss. A mob boss does not say, rob that bank. You know, the mob boss says, hey, look, there's a bank. I bet they got a lot of money in there. So this is what we're left with is... A former president who helped provoke a violent attack on our Capitol to overturn an American election, and yet there is a sitting United States senator who continues to defend him, which I can see where that would make some people wonder, do we still even need to elect senators? Because you know what? We've only been doing it for a little over 100 years. That's when the 17th Amendment to the Constitution came into play, saying, you know, maybe voters should get to pick their senators. And in South Carolina, they keep picking Lindsey Graham, but at least the voters have a say. Over at our sister publication, the Copper Courier in Arizona, where Republicans have now lost both of the U.S. Senate seats, do you know what Republicans there are talking about now? Getting rid of the 17th Amendment. Here are a few clips of them talking about getting rid of the 17th Amendment that lets voters elect their U.S. senators instead of the state legislatures the way it used to be done.
We never should have passed the 17th Amendment. That was what the Founding Fathers gave us as the state's check against the federal government, because the state legislatures would have sway over what the Senate was supposed to do. That was our break on the federal government. Since we removed that, every year the federal government has gotten more powerful and the states have been diminished.
And regarding the 17th Amendment, I will go on record as well, because I think that our Senate races have turned into who can raise the most money. And that's not what was intended by our Founding Fathers.
I echo the sentiments of my colleagues that indeed the Founding Fathers did intend for state legislatures to be the most powerful entity in the country. The 17th Amendment has gotten us away from that.
Can we state the obvious for just a moment? Republicans run the Arizona legislature currently. The U.S. senators are Democrats currently. And so these folks favor getting rid of the 17th Amendment to the Constitution currently. Ask them if they would feel the same way if the roles were flipped, and they would scream bloody murder. But when it's convenient to go against what the Constitution has laid out for elections, well, we got to do what we got to do for party over country, apparently. Jake, we got less than a minute, but you want to get in a couple of words about Trump and Russia. Good morning.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things Trump's done is he's turned Arizona from a red state into a blue state. Thank you, Donald Trump. And, you know, hating on John McCain, I guess that wasn't such a great political strategy after all. But, you know, this idea that somehow we would have had it easier with Russia if Trump had gotten a second term. Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, maybe Donald Trump was just simply handed Vladimir Zelensky's head on a silver platter to Vladimir Putin, and Putin, just like Hitler, would have already invaded Poland. And I guess that might explain why Republicans are so in love with Vladimir Putin, because Vladimir Putin is so much like Adolf Hitler.
That could be. I mean, you know, there once upon a time, it was considered poor form to make those comparisons. It's just that the historical comparisons are there's hints of them there that lead to these very troubling comparisons that we wouldn't do before. Chad Holmes next. You're up north.
It's 4 a.m.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has 3 openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo job fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720. Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Maintenance experience? Take it to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo invites you to its job fair Wednesday, February 1st, 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Information at PepsiCoJobs.com.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Bright sunshine expected today, with daytime highs approaching 9 above. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 3 above. Daytime highs approaching 21 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 8 below.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Haas and Pfeff Incorporated.
We're gonna do it. Give us
it. It was the end of an era with the passing of actress Cindy Williams at the age of 75. We learned yesterday through her family that she had passed away last week, Wednesday. Best known, of course, for her role on the slapstick sitcom Laverne and Shirley. She and Penny Marshall played the two young single women working at the Schatz Brewery in Milwaukee in the 1950s. Cindy Williams played Shirley Feeney, an upbeat and demure compliment to Ms. Marshall's brash Laverne DeFazio, writes the New York Times, running for 8 seasons on there. And Chad Holmes joins us now from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. And Aaron was telling me earlier that while he never really saw much of Happy Days, a little too young for that, but he had through reruns and had seen everything of Laverne and Shirley. And I wonder, up in the Wausau area, what do you think folks remember the sitcom that showed us a slice of life in Wisconsin?
I think if you're as old as I am, I think it's a lot of age-based, but yeah, I think so, because man, you remember back in the day, in the day of syndicated shows and reruns before TV Land and all that other stuff, you go home in the afternoon, see the old reruns of shows like Laverne and Shirley. I know I've seen probably most of those when I was younger.
Oh, yeah. And it was, you know, as writers have noted, it was, you know, they had, you know, hijinks that were reminiscent of, you know, Lucy and Ethel on I Love Lucy. And, you know, they were heartwarming. They were friends who fought sometimes. And, you know, television was so much more innocent back then. It was a simpler time. Last I checked up there, what'd you have? You guys were at 20 below, something like that, weren't you? Oh, 15 below at the start of the last hour there.
It's cold.
Yeah, we're definitely up on the tundra today. But while the air is cold, the discussion is hot around the Wausau area. I've certainly had outreach from folks who want us to talk about the issue of what to do in the Wausau School District about, I don't know if you'd call it consolidation or reorganization, but whatever it is, enrollment has dropped to a point that the school district has to talk about what to do with the buildings, with the students. And even though this has been a topic kind of on the radar for some time now, it still sounds like there's not a single plan that the entire community can coalesce around. If even one could be found. I mean, this is a tough topic.
Yeah. I think,
did I put it too mildly?
I know. It's like, I think that they wanted to have a plan that was going to be implemented this last week, but they did not line up everybody in the way that I think they needed to. I think that there is a sense that they were trying to ram through a plan that would ultimately have consolidated a number of elementary schools. It would have made East and West into one high school. And the meeting that they held last week was a monster meeting. There was a like 4.5-hour meeting. And the plan was for them to vote on it and to say, hey, this is it. We're going to start the implementation by 2025. We were going to be done and we were going to be moving forward. But when you don't line up the folks beforehand, all of a sudden, I think some of the voters, and I mean in terms of the school board, got some cold feet, and especially when there are some seats up for election in April. I think right now that we are going to see a little bit of a timeout. That's what they basically said, a 60-day timeout, maybe a little longer, because I can't imagine at this point a vote with this much pushback coming before the election.
No. When you talk about taking a school that has had a long-standing traditional but good-natured rivalry between the two high schools, East and West, and then you talk about getting rid of one of them, and closing elementary schools, and then there, I guess there's an angle as well that some of these kids would have to, they wouldn't just have a longer bus ride to school, but they'd have to take city buses instead of a school bus, which I got to admit, of all the things, that one struck me as the most odd.
And that's interesting, because I was talking to somebody after the meeting last week that works within the district, not anyone that has a decision-making aspect, and I mentioned that exactly as well. That just came across as, boy, I can see why that would really get under the skin of some folks, because when you're talking about transfers on city buses, a 90-minute ride to school here in Wausau, it did not make a whole lot of sense. But also at the same time, when I was talking to this person, the idea is... financially, it almost has to happen. And yet right now, I don't see the will within the community to make it happen. So I feel like we're in a kind of a tough spot that there's going to be some very difficult discussions and a lot of work that has to be done for the folks that do believe that this has to happen, for them to get the support. Because as you well know, if this kind of issue cannot be a 50-50 issue, you have to have the folks behind it, or else it would lead to some very, I think, difficult circumstances for not only the school board, but for the administration and for the people of the community.
Well, that plus it's 50-50 in part because of people who want it that way, and that leads to some personal editorializing on my part. I don't think nearly enough has been said that it isn't just a matter of declining enrollment. It's a decade of Republican state budget austerity that says not only are we not going to support public education, we're going to shovel more money into private schools. Basically, we want to create a second parallel track, and we have to pay for both schools. Well, then we will limit what public school districts can spend. We will limit what they can ask the property taxpayers for. So when you put those kind of handcuffs on a public school district, no surprise, they would be looking at things that would cause more parents to say, gosh, maybe I need to pull my kid and send him or her to, private school. The whole thing just, to me, is the chickens coming home to roost, from something that was set in motion starting back in 2011. It's not fair to the Wausau School Board. It's not fair to their parents that there is a state legislative role as an accomplice in this crisis. There isn't an easy answer, but I don't want people to lose sight that this problem didn't appear out of thin air, and it's not declining enrollment. And Chad, I don't envy you to continue covering these school board meetings, because you don't want to be seen as ramming something through, but also trying to get most of a community behind any given plan, that's a tall order.
And that's it. I mean, it over the last decade or so, when there's been referendums, the district had some trouble early on. They actually passed a referendum about a year ago, because I think they've learned some lessons in terms of bringing together all aspects of the community in order to pass a referendum. I think maybe they forgot a lesson or two up to this point. They have to go back and, again, get different constituencies together in order to get something accomplished here, because you can't ram it through. You just can't.
Yeah, and consolidation is so much bigger than any referendum for construction or ongoing expenses. Chad Holmes, 2-4 out of Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. Really appreciate the insight, Chad. Thank you so much.
You bet, Pat.
Have a great day. And you all have a great day as well. We have Earl Ingram next in Waukesha, Oshkosh, and Green Bay. Stephanie Miller in Madison. Todd Alba for Richland Center, Wausau, and Amory, all along the Civic Media.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo?
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
The Rick Smith Show. where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.